Hey, patrons, thanks so much for being a supporter of the Filmcast. Today, we got a special treat for you. It's our review of Pixar's Elemental. We're bringing it to you a little bit early. It'll be the exact same segment that's at the end of next week's episode of the show, but because you're a patron, you get to hear it early. Thanks so much.
Meet the residents of Element City. Air usually has their head in the clouds.
Oh, my new jacket!
Earth can be a little seedy.
Nothing weird going on here.
Just a little pruning.
Water is always getting into something.
Help!
And fire? As ordered, we run a little hot.
Welcome to the Filmcast review of Elemental. I'm going to read the plot summary from the internet. In a city where fire, water, land, and air residents live together, a fiery young woman and a go-with-the-flow guy discover something elemental, how much they actually have in common, end quote.
Oh.
You know, it wasn't too long ago when Pixar was one of the most dominant cultural forces in our society. I mean, they had an incredible run in the early 2000s, right? Like, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Cars, Ratatouille, WALL-E, Up, and Toy Story 3. Like, they release all those in a row.
1,000 batting average.
Every single one of them is a banger, you know? It's amazing. And they've fallen on hard
You're
times.
Really going hard for Cars here. Yeah.
I mean,
like Cars doesn't live up in my memory.
Okay, well, it's still a big cultural force.
Yeah, it is. It is.
My nephew loves them, okay?
The question of what happened to the humans still haunts us to this day.
Can I also just real quick say that I want every movie's IMDb summary to include the title in some way. Like, can Dave, can you just rewrite every time we do this to include the title of whatever the movie is?
It should just be the Gene Shalit summary, you know?
Yes, like, yes. But what the real friends he made along the way were the Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Anyway. No, I think you just have to say, like, this mission seems impossible.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like our characters are headed for a dead reckoning.
The first of the kind, yes.
I will say the IMDb summary of Elemental was actually really terrible. That's why I used, like, the Google-generated one. The IMDb Elemental, I'll read it to you just for the record. It says, quote, follows Ember and Wade in a city where fire, water, land, and air residents live together.
They just gave up. Whoever was writing the summary.
Whoever wrote that, they just was like, okay, just bang it out. Get it out there. Who cares?
Yeah.
Thank God we had that AI-generated one for you to turn
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
No, that's actually stolen from another website, Jeff. That's how AI works,
I think. Yeah.
It's either way, it's stolen. But this is direct copy. Yeah.
You know when you Google a movie title and then on the side of it's like, here's the summary. It's unclear where that comes from. Is it like
from the website?
From the studio, from the website? Who knows? Anyway.
If you Google my name, like my biography from Engadget pops in, like the actual text. So they just pull text.
Oh, yeah. But hopefully they pull it from the Disney website, which I'd be totally fine with. You know?
I hope.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. As I was saying, nonstop bangers, 1,000 batting average. It was amazing. They've fallen on hard times as of late. Onward, at the beginning of COVID, didn't do well. A bunch of their movies went straight to streaming, even some of them that shouldn't have gone straight to streaming, including Turning Red. Lightyear came out, didn't do well. Now this is the next entry. And Pixar movies are expensive.
Yeah. They cost. Well, Lightyear didn't come out. That was their big, hey, we're back in theaters.
Yes.
You're a cultural force once again. Man,
bombed.
What a miss.
Yeah, bombed. So, now we have Elemental, cost $200 million, isn't doing very well in theaters right now, but Pixar is the only animation studio, in my opinion, attempting things of this ambition.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you, Devinder Hardwar, is did their ambition pay off in the quality of the film in the case of Elemental?
In the quality of the film, absolutely. I think this movie is up there with top-tier Pixar for me, mostly because it has such great characters, but it has the single best representation of the immigrant experience that I've ever seen in a kid's movie, and honestly, better than most adults' movies. Like, this is something I talk about with my daughter. We live in a very, like, hey, I'm an immigrant, so she's a child of immigrants, but we also live in a very immigrant-friendly community. She goes to a school that has all sorts of kids from all over the world, and to explain that concept of, like, hey, we weren't always here, and actually, it was a big, big journey to get here, and there was sacrifice involved, and there's all that stuff. I think this movie just gets that so well without being super didactic about it. I think it is so open that, you know, it could be applied to many different immigrant experiences. Well, I think it feels very Asian.
It feels coded as like East Asian, South Asian,
and South Asian.
You
know? Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It could apply to any different immigrant experience.
And it's such a beautiful interpretation of like a city as a living organism too, set up for different types of people, and how some people may be physically shut out. Like the city is just not built to support these kinds of folks, and the sort of like attitudes that could inspire in people, you know, around it. And at the same time, I think this is a really effective love story. I think it's very, very sweet. I'm not surprised to see this movie basically bombing at the box office. It's not really a kids' movie. There were a handful of kids in my screening, and they just sounded bored by the end. But man, I was watching this thing being like, I cannot wait to show my daughter this. She probably will not understand it when she's four, like, or she won't understand it now. But maybe as she grows up, she will learn to understand like the depths of this movie. I think it is a very, very beautiful film. And yeah, I'm glad Pete Stone was able to put it out there. I just wish it was doing better. I feel like this is a movie that deserves so much.
I talked about this a little bit on my personal Patreon page, but I have done a complete 180 when it comes to obnoxious teenagers in movie theaters. Right? Because for the longest time,
I'm like, one of them.
Yeah.
Well, for the longest time, I'm like, this is terrible. Like, how dare these people ruin my movie going experience? But there was like a group of younger people. They're either in high school or college, sat in front of me. The youths, right? Like a whole row of them, probably like eight of them. And they're like cracking jokes and making noise throughout the whole movie. And it actually gave me a lot of hope for the future, because I'm like, we have like teenagers basically coming to see Pixar, paying money to see Pixar movies in theaters. They're the future. They're the future. And
there are actually a lot of teenagers in my audience too. So yeah, it was a date movie from what I can see.
If there is a future for film going, it's because of people like this.
Yeah.
I have a vision of Dave just leaning forward into the seat ahead of him and going like, "Hey guys, I approve of your joking and your
tomfoolery."
Your tomfoolery and buffoonery is okay by me, as long as you're paying money to go to the theater.
I just want you to know it's okay in my book, kids.
As
okay,
an elder millennial, I
great
get it.
Job, kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, a whole variety of age groups in my theater seeing Elemental. But anyway, Jeff Cannata, I'm very curious, what did you think of Elemental?
Well, Dave, I guess you could say what I think about Elemental is best summed up in the form of a limerick.
Mm-hmm. Hit us.
Its gorgeous visual tricks are undoubtedly for me this flick's star. It's lovely and sweet, but I see it repeat some elements from other Pixar.
Wow. The meter in that limerick flowed almost as freely as some of the water people in this movie, Jeff.
I really enjoyed this movie as well. My only criticism is these things are I'm starting to see the three-act structure in all of them.
Yeah.
And
they have a story sensibility to a lot of Pixar movies. Yeah.
They do feel like there's a template.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wish they would break out of that a little more. But I do think where this movie dares to be unique and special, it really is. And Devendra spoke eloquently about the immigrant experience. I think this movie talks in a way that I don't see any other kids, big budget, mainstream kids things talk. And it's beautiful. It's sweet. It kind of breaks out of some trends and templates in a really bold way. For example, it's romantic lead, its male romantic lead isn't a Prince Charming, isn't a big bold hero. He's a guy who's really in touch with his emotions. He's
and a bit of a crybaby.
He's
too.
A sensitive, like, kind
of guy. You know,
the Love kind it. Of person you don't tend to see as the big male lead. They'll be the sidekick character or the I thought it was kind of beautiful that this character, who we never really see, it's a very postmodern man, and I think that's, you know, it's something I relate to very much. I mean, mm-hmm. I cried at the end of this movie, and I cry in a lot of movies, and I think that is not something that is viewed as being masculine or worthy, or, you know, traditionally masculine or worthy of being the the one you fall in love with, right? That's the shoulder that, you know, is available to you, but it's not the big romantic lead typically. And I loved how this movie just didn't care about that and made the, you know, kind of did something different in that regard. And as I said in the limerick, you know, come for the visuals, stay for the lovely story, but come, mm-hmm. The visuals need to be seen on a big screen. This is one of the most visually arresting 3D animated films I've seen. I mean, obviously we just came off of Across the Spider-Verse, which is in a completely different league visually, but as far as kind of a simple, beautiful kids movie, this is really just beautiful, just lovely. And I adore the world building that this movie does, the visuals of and ideas, conceptual ideas of what this city is, the design of the city, I should say. You know, it very much reminded me of Zootopia, which is a movie my kids have watched a billion times, so mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with. You know, the sort of idea of what would a city with that is built around this fantasy concept, what would it look like? And let's kind of explore that in the nooks and crannies of that in all kinds of fun ways. I would love to have many, many more scenes just exploring what different sections of the city are like, because obviously you have, you know, your water section, your fire section, your air section, and your earth section. And I think earth certainly gets short shrift in this movie. We don't really care about the earth people. I don't know if this movie's box office will, you know, enable that, but I'd love a sequel that like doesn't even have anything to do with these characters, but takes place in this universe that maybe is an earth character and a wind character. Although I have to say, wind characters being clouds, that's actually moisture. Clouds are moisture. So,
clouds are moisture.
I don't know. Anyway, but...
So you think the wind character should have been invisible, Jeff?
I don't know how you visualize. I mean, I thought the clouds were lovely, but it's like they're actually made of moisture just the same way as the water people are made of moisture. So, you know, well, points.
No one, small wonder why they get along so well in the movie, you know?
Like, exactly. Anyway, I had a lovely time with this movie. I think the story is beautiful and sweet. I think the visuals are beautiful and, you know, and kind of overwhelming in how the water's just, I mean, there are shots that look photoreal in this movie.
Yeah,
that's nothing new, but the way the water flows and works in this movie and mm-hmm. all of the way the fire looks, the fire characters are almost two dimensional in a weird way, but they're constantly moving and changing color. And it's just gorgeous. So I really enjoyed this. I thought it was great. I, mm-hmm. like I said, my only criticism is that all of these movies feel a little cookie cutter in a macro sense. The details of this movie are lovely, but the sort of big three, I could tell when we're changing the act. I could, you know, everything feels, mm-hmm. You know, very template to me. And I wish that Pixar would get away from that a bit more.
Absolutely. I wanted to shout out here. I think the fire people really remind me of the character of Calcifer in Howl's Moving Castle. And I get a lot of that Miyazaki sensibility here, just the way that character moves and speaks and talks. I kind of wished Billy Crystal like did a voice in here, because his work in that English dub is also like very, very good. That's world class stuff. Fire and water looks amazing.
That's one thing I wanted to point out mm-hmm. as well, is that I love that this movie doesn't have a lot of recognizable yep. movie star voices.
Yep.
I mean, Catherine O'Hara being the one exception, yep. but even she is not, you know, like super mega star.
The voice acting is overall really strong.
It's
and this
very
is,
good.
And it's, it, yeah, yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
It's
ahead.
Like the, it's like old animated movies yes. used to be, where it's just anonymous people and you can kind of just hear the characters.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
unfortunately, Dave, I think that might be one of the reasons that executives are going to point to say why this movie didn't do as well. And yes. It's a bummer to me, because I want that to be a trend that continues instead of stops.
Completely agree. I had the exact same thought. I'm like, oh my gosh, like most of these actors, you know, they're very extremely talented. Some of them have huge social media followings, but they're not really name actors. You know, they're not like Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in the movie. It's a throwback. It's a throwback to when all that mattered was, let's just get the best performance. We don't need the biggest name. Yeah.
In fact, the dad, the fire dad, Bernie, looking on his IMDb, he's like in the art department at Pixar. Mm-hmm. Like that's his.
Yeah.
he's Pixar just the guy. People often end up doing voices. Yeah.
I'm sure he did the temp track when they were making it. And they're like, we're not going to get better than this guy. Let's just yep. use him. So
yep.
I kind of wish he was Billy Crystal, because just that caliber for voice is so eternal. There are some interesting names that some people may recognize, like Joe Pera does a voice here. So it's like, if you're into that sort of thing, it's kind of fun to see these folks. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll share a few thoughts, and then I'd love to talk with you guys about spoilers, because we do need to talk about the troubling implications of the world of Elemental.
But we'll save 100%.
We'll save that for spoilers. Okay. I think this movie is 2.5 movies, right? There is this really powerful, moving story of this family immigrating into this city that's very inhospitable to them, and how they build a life together, and how their child, in this case, how children in general navigate this situation where they're trapped between the old world and the new world. We've seen it done before, really well done here. Very moving, like made me very emotional as an immigrant myself. I loved it. There is this love story, which I did not care for. I did not think that, I don't think these characters have great chemistry with each other. I have no reason to understand why they would fall in love with each other, why they'd be drawn to each other. I don't think the movie did a particularly good job of that, in my opinion. And then there's a bizarre subplot about building code violations that takes up like a significant chunk of the movie. Like, it's I'm being glib, you know, they're mm-hmm. trying to stop the city from being destroyed, basically.
And there's more to talk about there, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it feels kind of awkwardly shoehorned into the rest of the movie. So of those 2.5 movies, I really love the first one, didn't care for the second one. The third one, the half is barely there. So I'm a little bit cooler on this movie than you guys. I mean, that being said, I think you should go see it. Everything you said about how beautiful it is. There's so many mm-hmm. amazing tableaus in this movie. There's a lot of like visually arresting moments in the movie where I'm watching. I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks incredible. Right.
Yeah.
And I do think like the animation is worth checking out and worth seeing in a theater. But I also, so that's like one area where I agree with you. I agree with you guys. I kind of agree with bits of what you guys have said. The immigrant story I love, the visuals I love. I don't agree that Element City is a particularly creative vision of what a city made for people with elements would look like. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of like, it's cool looking, but at no point do I feel like this is what a city would look like if elements lived there. And in fact,
I think Zootopia did a better job of like...
They even joke about it. They even joke about it at one point where like... two characters, it's in the trailer, they happen upon this fence and the water person just walks through it and the fire person just walks through it and the water person's like, why do we even have these here? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I also think they were referring to their clothes too, like, why do we even have these things? I don't know, were they talking about the fence?
I think they're
talking about the fence. Okay. Yeah.
But either way, it's like they have clothes because sensors, you know.
It's very hard. It's like joke, not about how poorly designed our city is, but how this particular person who's trying to keep us out, like, why did they even have
it? Fair enough. But I think that, like, I don't know, you know, if people were made out of elements, would you even have trains? Do you know what I mean? Like, couldn't you just have like a chute where like you hop in and you run? It's like the ancient Roman viaduct.
Just pipes.
Just pipes.
Like, it's all pipes.
Dave has some notes.
I'm just saying, I need shoots. Jeff, I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you.
Your point is like, oh, it's super well designed. I'm like, yeah, it looks cool. I agree with you. It looks cool. But like, the best worlds that we watch are like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't even think about how if a person was made of air, you know, how they would get to work differently or how they would do work differently. You know, like, and this movie didn't really do that. It was very much in the Cars realm where it's just basically...
Don't ask questions.
Humans, but with cars. That's it's like humans, but with elements. And that part was a little bit disappointing. It's a little bit of a missed opportunity, but like not a big deal, you know? But anyway, had to
I think that's a fair point. But I also think that for humans, but with elements, it's cool. I think both things can be true because, yes, would it be neat to have a conceptual sci-fi idea of, you know, if you were really made of air, what would you need? I just don't think this movie cares to do that.
Absolutely.
And perhaps that's the missed opportunity.
It could have, you know, and you get hints of it. Like when they first arrive, you see like a bunch of air people pile into this Zeppelin and then they kind of pile out. And then, you know, it's that's cool. But like, that's like the limit of how much it explores that idea, basically, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, we have much more to discuss. So let's talk about spoilers for Elemental starting right now.
I thought up an ending for my book.
It makes no damn sense.
Compels me, though.
I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end.
When I buy a new book, I always read the last page first. That way, in case I die before I finish, I know how it ends.
You can't handle the truth!
Inconceivable!
I came here to tell you how it's going to begin.
All right, we got to talk about troubling implications from the world of Elemental. Let's start with that.
So many.
I want to talk about some of the ending stuff. So the thing that stuck out to me is at one point, Ember goes to this dinner with these rich water people, and one of them is really into watercolors. Now, there's a very different, big difference between water people and water, which is still a thing in the universe.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of confusing that you'd have water people and also water, but whatever. So if you make a watercolor drawing, is that like making a painting with blood for humans? You know what I'm saying? You're like making it with your like entrails.
Just finger painting. Kind of, just finger painting.
Is it similar dynamic there?
Well, I don't think so, because they literally, you know, there is water. Water is dangerous at a certain point to the water man, which is weird.
Right.
You know, he's like holding back the water.
He's trying to like, oh no, we can't have water. I don't want to get lost in the water. You know, like it's not clear. It's not clear how they, you know, water people interact with water necessarily. Right.
Yeah.
But the other big thing,
terrifying is the idea of like, let's go over and have dinner. I'm going to put you on this inflatable raft. If you fall off of it,
you're dead.
You will die.
Will you die?
But let's enjoy a nice dinner.
Wade seemed to enjoy taking Ember on dates where it's at least 20% chance she will die.
Yeah.
Between that and the underwater bubble, which is like, what? Like, you really?
Well, I love how she's like, it'll be 20 minutes of air. Nobody told him that fire burns air up. Uses air for fuel. That's another thing, is like literally air people are fuel for fire people. That's and I don't know. There's a lot of
the earth people, I guess, are wood and plants too.
Yeah.
So like the fire people, to reconstitute themselves, they need to eat wood. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is that offensive to the earth people? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and also like, what happens when a fire person is fully put out by a water person? Like, is that their death?
It's
like,
murder. It's murder.
I think they've been doused.
Yeah.
This is, I feel like Pixar wants to anthropomorphize everything, right?
Yeah.
And this is it. This is the limit. You cannot go beyond the physical elements, because then you're just in, well, I guess Inside Out and what was it? Soul. Also did basically very abstract type of idea.
Yeah, Soul is the limit. Soul was the limit. It's literally like abstract ideas were anthropomorphized.
Yeah, like dreams.
In
the
universe. Yeah.
But the other thing is, I mean, there's a few other things that, you know, that I think are probably worth bringing up. But the big one is like, what is the point of making these things into elements if they don't actually interact like real elements would in real life, right? So like throughout the whole movie, like fire people are like touching wood and, you know, paper and all this, and it's like nothing's burning up. And it's like, well, what's the point of having them be fire people, or like have things made out of metal or some stuff?
They're wearing like metal clothes.
Their clothes, all their clothing is made out of metal. Yeah.
The clothes is like special, but like at various points, they're like handling stuff that would be consumed.
You gotta turn off your brain for that part of the movie. Like if you think too hard, it's like cars, and why do they have things for humans? Why does the car universe have any of those things?
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, sorry, go ahead, Devendra.
I wanted to go back to the thing you were bringing up, Dave, about the building permits, because I also found that it's like weird that we're spending time on this, but then it was like, oh man, this is actually the sort of like relentless bureaucratic bullshit you have to deal with when you move to this country is insane. And it was kind of a broader overall. It's like, you mean this building's fine. It's totally fine. But because it doesn't, you know, adhere to your permits, we got to shut down immediately. Reminds me of when my parents basically had to go back to our home country after several years to reaffirm like immigrant status and other things. Anything. You own a restaurant or something. Anything like this could happen. So
Owned a restaurant, and they had to navigate the bureaucracy, and I don't know how they did it, because I could barely do it myself with a full command of English, which they did not have at the time. You know, so it's
wild how the rules and the oppression of like a society, even if it's not like they mean badly, but you don't understand the rules, and these rules exist, and it could mean the end of your way of living. Right?
I like that. I like that. You know, it also like similar dynamic with Everything Everywhere All at Once and like the IRS, you know, like basically immigrants face formidable obstacles when trying to integrate into American life. And I did like that the movie nodded to that. But then I agree. I like where it started, Davinder. Mm-hmm, and then it becomes this thing of like, we have to stop the city from being completely annihilated. You know, it's like, okay.
Well, just their part of the city. Yeah.
That felt to me like the, we got to have the Pixar TM
yes.
action sequence
right.
in the third act. When it felt like this isn't a movie that is that. This isn't yeah, a movie that needs that.
There's basically no villain in the movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it's like,
mean,
yeah.
That's where I felt like it was imposing this,
yes, absolutely.
These expectations on it.
Yeah.
In the same way that, you know, when I saw Up for the first time, the first 20 minutes of Up, I think, is exquisite and perfect. And then you get into this other movie where it's like, oh, we're doing the Pixar thing and we got to do our Pixar thing.
Yeah.
It's like, this movie too, it felt that, hey, we're in this sweet little romantic comedy that yeah. doesn't need to have big set pieces, but because we're in a Pixar movie, we yeah. have to impose that on it. And
you
it just
have the talking dogs and all the
yeah concepts. It felt a little a little shoehorned to me.
It's also like it's part of like the failure of the city, right, and the civil government, because it's not Ember's fault. Like she tried to fix this thing. How did they not notice a giant, you know, crack in the wall? Because the city doesn't pay attention to these neighborhoods. Like they just don't care. And then they look at the tempered glass and they're like, oh yeah, that's fine. It's totally fine. You know, we could do the work to actually fix it, but no, this is fine.
I think one of my favorite things in the whole movie though is how she manipulates glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's super just cool. So, such beautiful. A cool idea that a fire person could just, you know, sweep up the shards of broken yeah. glass and then reconstitute it into something beautiful.
Or when so when they like the pipe starts leaking and they just kind of like bend yeah. the pipe to their will. That's very cool.
Well, that's why I think in the vocabulary of the movie is that if you're a fire element, you can sort of in the same way that Johnny Storm of the Fantastic Four does, you can sort of like turn on your heat or not, because they hold the pamphlet right.
yeah.
a lot, and then at one point she decides to burn it up, but she made a decision to do that. You know, like you can decide whether your fire,
you can flame on,
you yeah. can flame yeah. on,
you yeah. can flame on. Yeah, fair. Speaking of Up, by the way, I assume you guys watched the
yes.
Pixar short film before this, Carl's Date.
Carl's Date
is called, right?
I didn't think it was very good, to be frank.
Unnecessary. I didn't
really. You both didn't like. I thought it was.
Usually the shorts are a home run at the beginning of the movie. It's like, oh wow, Pixar, amazing short. And I just thought they weren't. I felt they were like,
yeah,
we got Ed Asner. Let's use him before he passes away.
And that's sad, but also true. And
it was odd. It was an odd one. Because
this is what the kids want.
Yeah,
seniors like dating.
Such a weird thing.
I was like, this
weird
is a huge miscalculation from a children's film, but like,
attached
to
a movie that I think is kind of a miscalculation too. So yeah,
yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't think it should have been attached to this one, but I thought it was kind of sweet because it's like, hey, we rarely see any movie of any kind about this topic, which is what it's like if you're old and older and in love. You know, like people
but
in their older age trying to find love.
Actually, yeah. see it. It feels like it ends right when it would have been interesting. You know. Yeah. All of the prep for the date was not nearly as interesting as what I would want to see, which is the date. Yeah.
I think it's basically best interpreted as like kind of a epilogue to Up, as opposed to like its own free.
He lived
like,
happily ever after.
Yeah, he kind of was able to move on. It's about him like moving on and living a better
what
life.
What year did Up
or
come
not
out?
Better life. Yeah, exactly. No, better
so
life.
The kids who saw Up are 20 something now, right?
I agree with you. I agree. It's very bizarre that it's. But I'm just saying, like, hey, it's there.
Yeah. No, it's
the movie and the short before it. They took some big swings. That's all I'm saying, right?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about what Davinder brought up, which I think is astute. This is not a kids' movie.
It does. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. I think the Up short didn't feel like it was really made for kids. You have a talking dog. That's the fun part. And even this movie itself, like, I want it to be a kids movie, but I think it is better suited for like preteens or something, like people who have more of an understanding of the shape of the world, because that's how you really get this movie. I think. Yeah.
I think that's true. I think this movie is a romantic comedy for people that have experienced romance. Like it's not for kids that, you know, Snow White or whatever, you know, when you see romance in those movies, it's an abstraction. It's not based on any kind of real human interaction. But this movie is very much grounded in how people actually interact and how their families interact. And it just felt like this is a much more mature subject matter than most Pixar movies. You know, it's not the love that you get in Cars, for example, when
right.
you know, he falls in love with the other car because they're both there. You know, it's
yeah,
interesting. I don't know.
It's filled with moments of just like quiet beauty too, yeah. like the whole going underwater and seeing the flowers bloom because Ember can make that happen. It's beautiful. I'm not sure if it would always hold a kid's attention, but you know, it is a very strange.
That was one of the highlights of the film yeah. for me. And yeah. there was this amazing scene that like took my breath away when like Ember has interacted with Wade at some point, and then she comes home, and then she's standing in front of the store, and then there's like this massive wave of water.
Yeah,
that's just, and she's seeing her reflection in the water, and then the water goes away, and yeah. then she sees the store behind it, and it's like these are the two yeah. things that she needs to choose between.
She's also
right?
not mad at the water, because normally she would like pull up the umbrella and be right, annoyed at right. the water being there. And now she's like
seeing herself in the water, and then the water goes away, and then she sees the store. It's like beautiful symbolism, you know. And I
yeah.
only possible with something like an animated film like this. So
there's another sequence that I thought was visually exquisite too, which is the mom who has this bizarre ability to smell love, which is like, sure. I don't even know where that comes from.
Sure, but, yeah. That was weird.
It was kind of weird. But you know, she does the ritual and she's like, well, you light your thing. And like, okay, yeah. Waterman, how are you going to light your thing?
Yeah.
And the solution that they came up for with that was amazing. I just yeah. thought it was gorgeous and powerful. And I saw that scene manifest and I thought to myself, mm-hmm. how are they going to get themselves out of this one, you know? And I thought the way they did it was just amazing. Yeah. It was so beautiful.
Pro tip for real life, never leave clear water bottles in your car. Because that will happen. It will refract and like burn a hole into your car seat, and it causes cars to catch fire. It's a thing. Yeah.
I will say one last thing about the weird world of Elemental, and then I'll move on from that. But like, there's a scene in the trailer and also in the movie where Ember and Wade are floating up into the sky. Very cool. She kind of like lights her fire and then heats the air and is able to fly.
Yeah, we've all played Tears of the Kingdom, Dave. Yes, we get it. Yeah.
And then they look into this pair of trees apartment, and they're kind of picking apples off each other's
yeah.
trees.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, just doing some pruning. Like, and I think we're meant to think that's something very like yeah. sexual.
Untoward,
is
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, what is the equivalent? I guess like
apples
are like
they're
reproductive,
plucking each other.
Yeah, they're like reproductive yeah. organs probably in the world of Elemental,
hardcore
right?
pluckers,
because they use it. They probably plant apple seeds to, like, you know.
Sure.
So anyway, sure. I just
whatever. You make new apple breeds by crossbreeding certain strains and like trying to grow
yeah.
trees together.
Yeah, you do.
It's yeah. the whole thing. This movie even directly like references Hanky Panky like right at the end.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like it's very. Yeah. It is making jokes that kids will absolutely not understand. So yeah.
I have
what about
say,
the fact that there are butterflies in this universe, but we never see any animals or insects or anything, but they talk about butterflies. So like, how does a butterfly, what is that about? What's the butterfly doing? Is the butterfly going and like pollinating the earth people's, like if there's bugs yeah. in this world, then right. they go to the earth people and what is that? Right.
They're just 100% associated with the earth people, I guess.
I guess.
I do have to say the
and there's you know car windshield wipers. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I wasn't a huge fan of the world building, but I did really enjoy the chase sequence early on in the movie when Ember is trying to get the documents from Wade and
yeah.
And the super creative where like she's running and she's using, you know, she like jumps up in the air and like uses her umbrella as a parachute. And and then at one point, like Wade goes into the crack between buildings,
yeah.
you know, and then she rushes out. And I was like, oh, this is like just a super, that's like taking advantage of the premise, I felt, in a way that, again, would be
even the way he kind of beats her at the end is kind of funny. He jumps into the
right,
drain.
Jumps into the sewer grate. Yeah.
Speaking of that, by the way, do you guys find it weird that the initial teaser for this movie was a very chill Ember getting onto the train, walking around the people and everything. She sits down. I think she sees Wade. That's not what happens
right.
in the movie.
Yeah.
What happens
yeah.
in the movie is they like stumble in and he's in the basement and everything. It is weird that the initial pitch for this movie doesn't really exist in the actual movie. So
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know.
I think I would have been much more into the love story if maybe it had played out in the way you described it.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
I have to say, guys, I did not love the ending of this movie. And in particular, Wade making this grand romantic gesture, and it's like, you should betray your family's values. And what I did like about that scene was that she says, no, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And literally my wife and I applauded, and everyone around us was like, what?
Also, she didn't seem mad about being forced into doing the shop. Like, that seemed like she wanted to do it, which, you know, that there's a bit of a incongruity there between her initial love of it and...
Let me just finish. Yeah. I want to hear what you have to say, but let me just finish my point, which is that, like, he overestimates his place in this story in that moment, in my opinion. And that's fine because she rejects it, but then nothing happens for him to actually learn what he did wrong.
Like, he just sticks around still.
He sticks around and then saves their lives, right? But it's like, if the life-threatening thing hadn't happened, he would have just gone away, and, like, that would have been the end of the story. So I didn't love, like, I like that, you know, he tries to do this, like, grand thing that everyone in our society is conditioned to feel like, oh, Wade's going to convince Ember to turn her back on her parents and do her own thing, because that's what the American way is. And I like that she rejected that in that moment. I don't like then what happened after that, which is he should have kind of learned his, there should have been some reckoning for that. And then they can still be together, but, like, he doesn't, like, learn his lesson in any way that he overstepped in that moment. So
he overstepped. Okay, it is funny, the whole thing about Wade's family too, where it is very much, going to somebody's house and they are much richer than you. They have things. They live high up and they have many rooms. It's a very different way of living.
And they dine in an environment where you would die if you fell off
the road. If you ate their food. But also the "you speak so well" comment.
Yeah.
Perfection. Very much love that it was there. And her response to that, because I've experienced that. It's not fun. Yeah. And also the sort of, like, helpful liberal mom. Basically, who Catherine O'Hara plays is like, oh, I love your stuff. I'm going to support you. Here's this thing. I'm going to get you this job. You do this thing. It's like, the movie directly says that's a little presumptuous.
Yeah.
Because it's generous, but it's not, I didn't really ask for this. You know, I'm actually fine with the route I'm going, but.
And that's what I don't like is like, they're Wade and his mom, they're ultimately kind of like vindicated at the end, which I don't love that.
It would have been nice to have more of a conversation around that, because it is interesting that it's in a typical immigrant story, she'd be like, I don't want your dream, dad. I'm not you.
Right.
Whereas this one, she's like, this is my life.
I'm okay with it, or I'm okay sacrificing for it, which, like, I agree, you know, like, some balance needs to be found, but I don't agree with the way the film did it. Okay.
Yep.
Jeff, I've articulated my issues. What do you think? Go ahead.
I agree with you 100%. I thought that those exact same thoughts at the end as he strolls up into the thing and he does that romantic comedy third act thing where he's like, I don't care, who knows it? I love this, you know, whatever. And I loved that she said no, and I went, good for you, movie.
Yeah,
and then literally nothing happens and he comes back and she's like, I'm so glad you came back. And it's like, but
the last time you interacted, you just were kind of...
Is there a... So I do think that's a failing of the movie. The other thing I was going to say is there's also sort of a dropped thread of her rage and her dealing with her rage. Like, she has this rage issue that the first act of the movie makes a big deal about. She's constantly burning down her own thing because she can't handle her rage. And they kind of just don't do anything with that.
Well, my interpretation of it was that her rage, it was not rage. It was more like anxiety at the expectation of taking over her dad's shop, right? And once freed from that anxiety, she could be her true self. So I can agree with you that, like, there was no moment where she's like, and now I finally solved the problem, you know? But, like, but I do think there was enough there that, like, oh, that was the reason she kept...
Okay,
I'll
grant you that. I just felt like the movie was leading up to some sort of moment where she's able to handle that in a better way, and we never get that. We never get the resolution.
I think, as it's shown in the movies, like, as they basically start dating and hanging out, she mellows out because it is another aspect to her life that she didn't really have before, because she was so closed off and so focused on doing the family business and being in her own neighborhood and being very closed off from the people and things around her in the city. So I think there is personal growth there, and that directly relates to, you know, the attacks and everything, the angry attacks. Yeah.
I want to mention just a couple of other things about the ending and specifically how they handle the immigrant story. You know, I was lucky because my parents owned a Chinese restaurant, and they told me at a very young age, because I'm a kid, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll take over for dad one day. You know,
like, we want you to be a podcaster, David.
to make content. The like, future will be fed by content.
We came here for one reason, and that was for you to talk about your thoughts about movies and TV shows.
They were like, we, from a very young age, they're like, we don't want you to do, like, we are doing this so you do not have to do this. Because this is hard, backbreaking work. And we don't want you to do that. And so that was a kindness that they did to me. You know, it's a thing where I didn't need to think about that. And I'm just going to put this out there. You know, I think Ember's dad probably should have had that talk with her a little bit sooner than at the end of the movie. Because, at the end, I was like, I know where this is going. Where this is going is he's going to be okay with her not taking the shop. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's her happiness that's more important. And that is, in fact, where it went. And it's like, it's because of the lack of communication between father and daughter.
Immigrant parents not talking to their kids enough.
I've never heard of such a thing, Devendra. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it. That was very powerful because it's like, you know, the shop was never the goal. The goal was you being happy, you living a life in Element City, and that was lovely. And also, like, the way they did the bowing portion at the end. Very moving, you know, like he tells a story of how, like, the father, their family wouldn't bow. And then, you know, he did for his daughter. And that's a thing that's, like, not very much acknowledged. We very much hear immigrant stories. Like, when you hear immigrant, when you see immigrant stories in the United States, almost all of them begin at the point where the person arrives in the United States.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like
the Ellis Island landing.
Right.
It
starts there, right? You don't see that much of, like, the pain and the suffering that went before, and also, like, how many parents feel like it's a rejection that the person has left, you know. And I like that this movie dealt with those weighty issues of, like, Ember's grandfather didn't accept their decision, and that's,
and
like,
never met them, never saw their life. Like, that is a heady, that's a huge concept to even understand as a kid. But we don't talk about what is left behind, and very rarely, even in adult immigrant stories. So I think that's an amazing thing that this movie did.
Totally.
I have one more big thing I want to ask you guys about, because I really didn't like Wade's resurrection at the end, or whatever you want to call that. I loved all of the stuff of he's gone. Oh, you know, the burnt out shop and all that stuff. I thought that was all really pretty.
Yeah, I was like, if he sacrificed himself and, like, that was his ending, that would be like, oh,
incredible.
Great. Yeah, awesome.
Incredible. Can't do that in a kid's movie, I guess.
Yeah.
It would have been incredible.
Yeah.
But even bringing him, I kind of suspected we were going to have some sort of happy ending of, but I thought the movie did nothing to earn that. I felt like there was going to be, in the same way that I just brought up the, how are you going to burn your little stick? And we came up with this genius solution.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be some wonderful loophole of how he stayed alive. And she walks in and looks up, and I was like, oh my gosh, is there some sort of thing that they're going to reveal?
The loophole is condensation.
But it's literally like, no, he's just still here.
He's kind of, my interpretation, he's kind of soaked into the materials.
Yeah. Which I guess not,
just
it wasn't
stuff at the top.
Yeah.
It was okay for you guys. I just felt like that was such a cop out.
I didn't think it was okay.
I didn't like it. I didn't think that he was still alive at all.
He wasn't dead.
Wasn't a fan of that.
Wanted that rich boy dead. There was room for, like, a very heartfelt discussion or something. Ember actually opening up in a way that we haven't really seen her in the movie too. Just having that apologizing to him or something.
Then
he cries.
You could have had this amazing thing. Instead of just the, like, repeating the thing from before to make him cry. Yeah. It was not good. But I think if he's actually dead, then we have this moment where she makes a decision that is completely her own.
Yeah.
And it isn't about choosing him over her dad. It's about choosing the direction of her life.
Right.
And I think that would have been so much more interesting and powerful.
I agree. And that's kind of where what you're saying, Jeff, comes into place of, like, oh, this is like the Pixar end. Like, the Pixar movie has to end in this way.
Right.
And that's, and you know, with the whole final act, I think, between the whole, like, them almost all dying and then, like, then Wade coming back to life, that feels very like, oh, this is the Pat ending that we need. I was also saddened that they didn't take a bigger risk.
Yeah, so, I agree.
I can't help but see, like, Miyazaki touches here, and were this a Miyazaki movie, that water man would be dead. Because just that is it, kids. That's life. Sometimes you find somebody and you love somebody and they change your life and they die.
And they're dead. They're gone forever.
Movie ends.
Because you hugged them. You hugged them and they died.
That is the Devendra Pul quote. Were this a Miyazaki movie, that man would be dead.
That water man would be dead.
Okay, one last thing about water people. I know I said I would stop talking about it, but the idea that sponges exist in this universe is like terrifying.
Why?
Right? Like, because wouldn't those, that would basically be like a gun, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're like,
guns exist.
Or not a gun, but like, you know, like it's like a deadly weapon.
It's like a prison. It's a prison.
It's a prison.
It's a prison.
I'm carrying mobile prisons that you can get sucked into on this janitor cart.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the thing that's weird is that there are, I mean, we talked about this a little before, but there are the anthropomorphized elements, but there's also the elements.
Yes.
Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. There's water people and there's water. There's fire people and there's fire. There's earth people and there's earth. There's air people and there's air. They're not the same thing. So, like, what function do the people have?
It's kind of, the way I tried to think about it was like how, like, in BoJack Horseman, there's animals that talk, but also animals that don't talk, you know?
Right.
That's kind of how I tried to imagine it. But anyway.
You just don't want to ask too many questions about that sort of world building.
But
it's
fun to think about. It's fun to think about. So
I do like the imagery of when they finally touch and when they finally kiss. That is a big moment. And again, the movie just does tremendous visual work to kind of make that really shine.
I agree. The visuals are stunning. But I also was a little disappointed. I thought for sure we were going to have the flash forward to see the little hybrid fire water babies that they're gonna make. I thought we were gonna see some
don't
kind
ask
of
questions, Jeff.
Rad visual of like this fire water yin yang mutant being that's like, kill me, kill me.
Wow,
okay. No, not that, but you know what I mean.
Troubling. Oh, here's what I will say that the movie did unexpectedly. I thought for sure this dad is dead. Like, he's coughing the whole movie.
Coughing equals death. Yeah.
Coughing in any movie, but coughing in a Pixar movie? Like, you're freaking toast.
Yeah.
And then he lives through the end. I'm like, wow. Like, that is a huge surprise. You got me, Pixar.
You got me.
So, all right. Well, anyway.
Well, that's why Wade couldn't die, is because we got to have the, you know, the character at Disneyland who's walking around and kids can't be like, but you died, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
The store is fine still, too. They're able to just rebuild the store. Yeah. The blue flame is fine.
Yeah, everyone gets what they want.
It's all fine. Except the poor butterfly who gets ripped apart by windshield wipers.
Well, at the end of the day, it is really impressive that Peter Sohn made this movie. And that's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode of The Filmcast. You can find more episodes of this podcast at thefilmcast.com. Email us at /filmcast@gmail.com. And find us at Patreon. Support this podcast at patreon.com/filmpodcast. Be sure to follow us on YouTube, Instagram, at the Filmcast Pod. Find us on TikTok at the Filmcast. This episode was edited by me, David Chen, and video assistance was provided by Kurt Mega and John Barry. Theme song was by Tim McEwen, and our weekly plugs and spoiler bumper music provided by Noah Ross. All right. Next week, I think, is going to be Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Is that right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think so.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is going to be our main review next week. It should be pretty interesting. Heard a lot of big different things about this one. You know,
I cannot wait to talk to you guys about it.
I think what I can say safely, though, is that just based on everything I know about the world, is that I don't think this movie is going to be number two at the box office this summer. I'm just going to put that out there.
Probably accurate. Yeah,
we've learned some very difficult grave lessons.
Yes,
we've made some mistakes from right. And we're deeply sorry. May God have mercy on our souls. All right. Until next week. Be well, folks. Thanks for listening. See you later. Goodbye.